Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thankful for this morning, thankful for this opportunity to hear from you, dear Lord God. Father, according to Isaiah, I thank you for giving me a word in season to them that may be weary. And I thank you, Lord, that my teaching and preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and of power. And I pray, dear Lord God, as always, that our congregation has ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, that your word is being sown on good ground, that it won't return unto you void. Shall accomplish that which you please, Father God, and we will receive it, Father God. Mix it with faith and bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain. I pray that not just for New Day, but right next door at Corona Friends, we lift them up, and Pastor John Boss. We pray for North Point, Heavenly Father. We pray for Crossroads, dear Lord God. We pray for Connection Church. We pray for New Hope, Heavenly Father. We pray for the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Lutheran Church. Father, we thank you. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that saying,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve. Question for you, not a trick question. How many of you guys are looking forward to retirement? Lift your hands. Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. Some of you are like, nah, I'm going to work the rest of my life. Okay, good. Hallelujah. Okay, right on. Do your thing. I ain't mad at you. I got another question. Who can show me retirement in the Bible? That wasn't a trick, Cheryl. It's all how you frame it. Okay. Listen to me. I just want to read this to you, okay? Psalms 127, verse 2. I'm reading it from the Amplified. Just listen for a moment. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. For he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. One more time. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. For he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. Toiling, what is that? Toiling means long, strenuous, fatiguing labor. Long, strenuous, and fatiguing labor. I need you to hear me, okay? So today's message title is No More Toiling. No More Toiling. Our scriptural text is John 6, verses 26 to 27. I need you to hear these clearly because I used them last series for what's in it for me. I need you to hear it clearly, though, okay? 26, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. He's talking to the crowd of 5,000 that followed him, okay? Hear me. I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. Let that sink in for a minute. You want to be with me because I fed you. And some of us want to be with Jesus because he healed us. It's cool. You know, because you know you close escrow. Hallelujah. You know, you believe in God for, you know, your card, for them to say yes on your credit. Your credit's going to be high enough for that car loan. That's cool. But he says here, not because you understood the miraculous signs. So sometimes we can want Jesus, but for reasons other than what he intended. But I really need you to see verse 27. And this is Jesus saying, he said, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Like food, not just food, but things like food, things that perish, things that go away, things that get old. Think about it. Almost everything you purchase, after a while, it just... not that important to you anymore. It wears out. You know, we had the fires recently, and my car is sitting outside. It got ash on it. I didn't wash it for 3 days. Now, when I first got it, and I heard it was on fires, I would have put that bad boy in the garage. 27, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking their eternal life. Wait, spend your energy doing what? Seeking their eternal life. Spend your energy. You're going to spend your energy somewhere. It needs to be on things that are eternal. You hear me? Things that are eternal. Now, I need to read this to you from the Amplified, John 6, 27. I believe it's on your handout, but it says this here. Stop toiling. Stop toiling. I told you already what toiling means, okay? Long, strenuous, fatiguing labor. He says, stop. Jesus says, stop. Wait a minute. The Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. We have a little conflict here? No, we don't. Stay with me. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using. We work so hard to eat. I gotta feed these kids. Y'all hungry again? But strive. Now, what does but do? Everything before it cancels it out. So don't do that, do this. But strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures. That means continually. You want to put yourself in position for the lasting food. We got to stop toiling for earthly things that perish. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means his way of doing things. And then these things will be added. Sometimes we just get it backwards. I need you to listen to me closely, because many of us, we're stuck and we're toiling. You say you don't like the 91, but you're not doing anything to get off of it. So stick to this freeway. Are you? Turn your hand out over, please. Let's get into this, okay? Ready? No more toiling. Say, no more toiling.
No more toiling.
Remember, toiling is long, strenuous, fatiguing labor. Proverbs 10:22 says this, the Amplified version. I'm using the Amplified a lot today, and we got various scriptures because I really want you to get this, okay? Normally, I just take a passage and walk through it, but I want you to get this concept. It's important to me, okay? And I see so many of us suffering and going through life and just struggling. And here's what it says here in Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Stay with me. Neither does toiling increase it. You weren't designed to toil. What happens when you overuse something? Let's look at this. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Now, here's the problem. We think the blessing, you think you're living in the blessing of the Lord. You think you're driving the blessing of the Lord. No. Let me show you. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. Now, what is this blessing then? Let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, first thing he blessed was animals. He made the fowls for the air, the whales, fish, and the sea, and all the creeping things and the cattle and all that for the earth. And it says he blessed them and said, multiply. He blessed them. He blessed them. He put something in them so they could multiply and increase. So the blessing is what we come under. The blessing is what is in us. The blessing is what we call the anointing. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's the blessing of the Lord. So we want to come up under the blessing. I need to be under what God, how God has created me. And see, that makes me truly rich. I shared with you before, I know a few series ago, about a friend of mine, a guy I know, and in fact, we were walking into a church, it seemed like a Saturday or something, probably a men's fellowship or something, and he said, and I made the statement, I said, man, it's been my greatest year ever. And it was like, I think 06 or so, 05, somewhere around there. And he says, mine too, man. We already at 5 million. And I looked at him. I thought he was in like 300,000-400,000 a year. 5 million. He's my best year. Well, later that year, he calls me. His son tried to commit suicide, 13 years old. His daughter couldn't stand him, bought her a Mercedes and all that. And she's like, I get out of this company. And she got ugly. They lived in the suburbs, but she was acting like she was straight from the hood. She just got up. Yeah, I'm like, whoa. So he had the finances, but he wasn't rich. From his house, you could see Catalina and the San Bernardino Mountains. Look out one window, look out the other window. But he wasn't rich. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, God doesn't have a problem with you having things. He has a problem when the things have you. And often we work hard for the things that perish and decompose. The blessing of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. So if it's truly rich, there's a false rich. And that's the one that a lot of times we don't see on TV. There's this guy, and I can't think of it. I think he's like Asian, mixed with Asian and white or something, and he's on Facebook a lot. And every time you see him, he's in his Beverly Hills house, and he got all the Lamborghini in the garage, and he's telling you how to get what he has. And then I found out it was all fake, that he was fake. Give him a tie, take. Yeah, it's fake. It's fake. Man, are you really? Don't believe the hype. No, okay. It makes truly rich. So there's a false rich. I need you to see this. Because then you'll stay on that 91 to keep your false richness. And he has no sorrow with it. I need you to see that. And then you're like, you're going to work hard to make. Stay in your lane. Do what you were created to do. That's how he has blessed you and equipped you. So what you got to ask yourself is, how has God blessed me? What has he anointed me for? What has he graced me for? Let me ask you a better way of putting it. What has he blessed you to do? What has he blessed you to do? What's the thing you do better than most people? People commend you on it. People acknowledge you for it. Like, oh, girl, that was bringing it. In what area is that? Now, let me put a pin in it. I'm going to come back to the message in a minute. Just because you're good at it doesn't mean you should quit your job and open up a business. Just because you, maybe you bake cakes really good. Okay, I'm going to quit my, I didn't say that. But what you have to learn to do is move into that area that God, what is he calling you to do? What did he create you for? What did he create you for? And you really got to think that through. Because that's what a blessing is. And you get outside of that, then you begin into toiling. And you weren't created to toil. Now, another note, too, is when you move into that area, the one thing about it is that it gives you strength to persevere in difficulty. Because you're cool, because it's where you're supposed to be. And all of a sudden, problems don't bother you like they used to. People don't get on your nerves like they used to. It's something different about when you step into your lane. Let's see what Jesus said about that. Go to John chapter 4, please. John 4, verse 31 to 34. John 4, 31 through 34. Now, Jesus is going to give us an excellent example of operating under the blessing versus toiling. You'll see it's really spelled out right here. Be really clear. Now, a little background as you're turning there about the Samaritan woman. So Jesus and his disciples are rolling, and they walk through a town of Samaria. And these are like mixed breed people. They have Jew, have Samaritan. So the point is, he begins to talk to this lady, and she was surprised he was talking to her. And she goes off to tell everybody else. When they got to the town, the scripture says in the beginning of John that Jesus was weary and he was tired. Okay? I need you to hear me, because just when I talk about no more toiling, it doesn't mean you will never like be physically tired and need to take a seat. But Jesus was weary and tired, and the disciples went into the town to buy food. When they buy food, they mean they had money, but that's another message, okay? Everybody think Jesus was poor. Anyway, I ain't saying he was rich and all that other stuff too, though, but anyway, here we go. So the disciples come back, and this is where we pick up the story. And 31, and it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Back to this food thing again. Okay? Now, he does need it. We all need to eat. Eat right, okay? But now look at 32. But, and what does but do? Got it. Okay. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Now, this is what we do too. When we hear something, we filter it through what we already know. And this is where we make a mistake, because we think we know everything. So you hear something new, and it's like, then you contrast it to what you already know, as opposed to considering, maybe I don't know, let me inquire. That's hard for us to do, okay? It says there, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. 33, did someone bring him food while we were gone? Ask each other, what? They don't get it. But now what Jesus is talking about, food, physical food first, is purpose. Because see, when you're in purpose, it's a whole different level that you're moving into. And look at 34. He says, then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Right. And see, a lot of us have jobs, but we don't have work. There's a difference between your job and your work. Don't quit your job tomorrow, because, okay? But you do need to discover your work. And for some of you, your work will be found at your job. But then when that is discovered, guess what? The job is going to become easier and you won't be toiling anymore. I'm speaking from personal experience. I worked at a library. Sucked. I'm a sports all day long. I'm around a bunch of ladies. They ain't into sports. Tony, come sit with us on break. Why? I remember that little party one time, and the big librarian came down, and the head, the city librarian, and they having pizza or something, and I'm sitting on the side. She said, Tony, come get some pizza. I got my slice of pizza and went back to sit down. And she looked at me, she's like, how's your wife? Why don't you call and ask her? Can I go read my sport? I didn't say that. Read my sports page, leave your brother alone. But what did happen, once I began to understand it, this in it over a period of time, then all, after a few years, guess what I became? The minister of the library. Then I began to do marriage counseling there. I do hospital visits there. And then I did a Bible study. Then all of a sudden, they would send me to the religious meetings in the city and all the churches coming together. Then it became my work. And all of a sudden, getting on that 57 wasn't so bad anymore. I would wake up like, all right, I got a purpose now. It makes a big difference. And a little while after that, I got to leave. So I get to Zoe Christian Fellowship, where I was, and I went on staff as the missions pastor. Now hear this, okay? Now I'm really moving in a purpose. And Bishop Ed, Pastor Ed then, I mean, he's the mindset. You a missions pastor? Yeah. You also, I need you to oversee the men's fellowship. I also need you to run Sunday service. Also, he's one of them. I don't care what your title is and job, and he ain't bound by your job description. And so what it was before you know it, I'm you always see me, and I'm moving 6 days a week. I'm at the church, and I move fast. It's happening. I'm part of everything, and I'm doing it. And one day I make a statement to we had a 12. We're just 12. The 12 of us would meet with Pastor Ed. And one young man, we had a young guy on that was part of the team. He came in late, and someone had mentioned something. And I reminded him, well, he's just still immature. And I said, told a story about my son, Brian. Brian was excellent academically in school. I mean, he was amazing. He was very mature, and he would help the teacher and all that kind of stuff back when he was in fourth grade. The teacher said this to us. He said, Brian is just exceptional, but every now and then he would do something to remind me that he's still a child. So I told the group that, you know what I'm talking? Okay, I told the group that he was there. I said, well, every now and then he's going to do something to remind us that he's immature. So he comes in late, and he says, guess what, guys? I'm reading the Bible, and I thought about something. Now, late, I need y'all to hear me for a second, okay? There's a men's meeting. And he says, you know how men are always called dogs? And we're like, well, okay. You know, what's up, dog? That's back in that time, okay? And he said, well, that's probably why we call women bees, because that's a female dog. And I just said out loud, because I was at the head of the table, because Pastor Ed wasn't there tonight. I was running the meeting. I said, every now and then. And everybody remember what I said, right? And they all laughed. He kind of looked around what they laughing at, okay? So nobody said anything. We went on with the meeting. After the meeting, I'm in my car. He calls me, and he's mad. He says, you know, you running around this church like a chicken with your head cut off. But he's mad. He was mad. And I was wrong. I was wrong. But the reason I run around like a chicken with my head cut off is because this is my work and I enjoy it. You ever wonder why I'm not getting tired doing it, why I'm always showing up? Because I'm in purpose. And all of a sudden, now, I didn't work physically half as hard at the library as I did at Zoe, but at the library, I was wore out all the time. That's the difference between your job and your work. That's the toiling. That's why you have to find what is it that he created me to do. You guys know Pastor Barry Knight, who went to, most of you know him anyway, but he went to, been a couple of times to Africa with me, and he called me another day, and he always calls me Bishop, even before the whole consecration, even before the whole recent thing. Hey, Bishop, how you doing? And I said, good. I said, I'm sorry I missed your call earlier. I was asleep. Bishop, you sleep? You actually sleep? You sleep? Wait, I gotta call the press about this. Bishop sleeps. And he found it funny because most of the time he sees, and this is what, because I'm in my lane. Let me come to Kaiser and try to work with y'all. Not going to happen. Turn to Philippians 4, please. And Paul is going to give us an example of operating under the blessing versus toiling. Say, no more toiling.
No more toiling.
Yeah, now this is really weird because Paul is in jail when he's writing this. And you would think he would be anxious. You would think he would be worn out. You would think, okay, the situation is so bad. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're operating under the blessing, things are different. You see things different. You sense things different. And I think one of the things about under the blessing and moving away from toiling is you're not sweating stuff. You're not worried about stuff. You know it's going to work out and you're good. And if God allowed it to happen, it must be for your good. He got purpose in everything. So all of a sudden, you see it differently. There's no sorrow in it. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 10, okay? So Paul is writing a letter to the church in Philippi. Got it? Okay. Now, I like to pretend he's writing a letter to the church in Corona called New Day. So instead of Philippians, we're going to call it Coronians, okay? That's why I personalize it. And I get something out of it, okay? And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and verse 10 says this. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me, okay? Now, stay with me because I know this is a popular passage. You've heard it before, but I need you to hear it differently today, please. Pray you have ears to hear. Verse 11, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned. Say learn. You have to learn some things. I have learned how to be content. It's something you have to learn. Now, Ron, Paul was wired like me and you. Kick butt, take names, make it happen, go, go, go. You guys that are D's like, I mean, you know, we just always on go. One speed, go. We don't even have a reverse. Just, okay. But he had to learn something. How to be content. Now, I need to put a plug in it because contentment is not complacency. In fact, Lavelle, let me have Proverbs 132, New Living Translation. Okay, put it, write this down. Just make a note because I want you to check this out when you get home. Proverbs 132. For simpletons, it's just a proverb, okay? For simpletons, turn away, talking about wisdom, turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own what? That means you're just like, here you go. I'm just chilling. What's up? This is all good. Nah, I don't need to. I get a job next week. I'll figure that out. It's complacency. God said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, have dominion. Do you know what it takes to be fruitful? That takes work and effort. You just got to figure out where you're supposed to be fruitful. And then how do you multiply that? And dominion, that's your area of rule. What is it that you're a subject matter expert on? That's your purpose. You move into that, you're on toiling. Can we go back to Philippians, please, now? So Paul says this, 11, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content. Not complacent, which that's anti-progression. He's learned how to be content. That means no matter the situation, I'm cool. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. It's not in the food, it's not in the stuff. 12, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Can you get to that point? I have learned the secret of living in every situation. Every situation, say every. Now watch this. Whether it's with a full stomach or empty. Back to that food thing again. So whether my stomach is full or empty, I got plenty and little. Guess what? I'm good. You think about it. Well, just think about it for a moment. I've learned how not to toil in my marriage. Let it settle in. I don't toil. Let it settle in. Because I've learned this is the woman God has for me. See, some of you ain't settled on that yet. You looking at a new model, want to do a trade-in. She ain't no car. I need you to think for a moment. I need you to look ahead as far as you can with your spiritual eyes. And you're going to see that God has uniquely crafted her for you and for that situation down the line.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, now that I know that, now I learn how to be content.
Amen.
So you guys, about last night, remember, and we got to the house, and I opened up the refrigerator, I'm like, whoop, cupboard's bare. And some people, it could have been, well, she ain't cooking, she didn't. I'm good. In fact, it was like a week ago, I said, something might appreciate you. You know, you've always taken care of me. She said, well, I haven't cooked in a while. I said, you just make sure I eat, though, don't you? I'm content. Now, I had to learn. Verse 13. For I can do everything. Now, here we go. Through Christ. And see, that's the thing. We try to do things outside of Christ, and now you're toiling. Wearing out. You're getting on your nerves. It's like you're pulling your hair out. I want to throw something across the room. I'm going to shoot somebody. I'm so sick and tired of all of this. And the man in Colorado killed his whole family. He was like $70,000 in debt. Dude, I know most students got $120,000 in debt. I know one student with $200,000 in debt. You crumbled under that. You're weak. Anyway, let me stop. Okay. But it's crazy. Am I toiling? Not toiling at all. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And this is where the strength comes in. The strength comes in when you have knowledge. I'm telling you, absence of knowledge, you just, all hell is breaking loose in your life. Cracks me, and people don't want to admit they're ignorant, but we can see it. You don't know. But you're trying to act, and that's toiling right there, trying to act like you. Why? That's too much effort. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Watch this, 14. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Just because you're in purpose doesn't mean you won't have difficulty, but God has sent somebody to hook you up. 15. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. You wonder why we support so many missionaries. That's a scathing indictment right there. No other church did this. Amplified on this. I'm not going to finish. Amplified on this. Oh, Christ is King. Watch this. I want you to get this. And Amplified just takes the Greek, which this was originally written in, and just amplifies it, okay? It says, and you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church, that's assembly, entered into a partnership with me and opened, watch this, a debit and credit account. And giving and receiving, except you only. New Day's Heavenly Bank account, I'm sure, is off the hook. It's scripture. Pastor, you and the lady told me last night at the play, goes to another church. You really in the missions? No, I'm into the Bible. I'm into the will of God. I'm into just doing what God wants. No, I don't like sitting on an airplane for no 12 hours and get off for a minute and walk around a terminal for 4 hours, get back on for another 12 hours, get there, and everybody happy to see you. You just want to go to bed, but you got to put a smile on your face. How do you do it, Pastor Tony? Because then it's not toiling. I'll be back in October. I'll be back again in January. I'll be in India in July. I'll be back to South Africa for Pastor Godfrey's consecration in October next year. And that's just on the calendar right now. You know other stuff going to come up. How do you do it? Because it's what I was created to do. It makes sense. Okay, let me finish this. 16, even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. I need you to know something. Your gifting is for somebody else. I need you to see that, okay? He says this. 18, at the moment I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. Now this is what an offering is. That's why I encourage you to give the missionaries. In fact, we're going to set it up where every family is going to find a missionary that you want to support as your family, not just give it a New Day. No, you need a missionary to be supporting because I want this blessing being lived out in your life. I want all your needs to be met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm going to make sure you have an array of missionaries that you choose one, whatever you're passing by in your heart, you can sow into. Just one directly past Pastor Tony and New Day, and you have your missionary, okay? All right, here we go, 19. And this same God who takes care of me, Paul is saying, he will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. So let's talk about retirement again. Do you think I will ever retire? No. I might not be pastoring like I am now. But guess what I will be doing? I will be discipling people. I will be growing people. I will help people. I will always help people discover their purpose, develop their purpose, and deploy them into their purpose. Because once you step into your purpose, somebody's going to get blessed. So my question to you, who is that person that when you step into your sweet spot that's going to get blessed? Who is that person? I want you to begin to see yourself as the solution to somebody's problem, as an answer to somebody's prayer. You are the answer to someone's prayer. You are uniquely created to bless, to heal, to bring deliverance, to bring hope, to restore to someone or somebody or some group. I need you to hear me. And that's why the enemy keeps you stuck, keeps you in fear, keeps your heart broken. You know, when we suffer loss, it's hard. My dear sister Brenda, who put the play on last night, great play. You can see she had her colors on. She's beautiful, doing great. Now, here's the deal. She retired from being a missions director, but guess what she's still doing? Missions. Got it? Now, here's the thing about her. So after now, she's in church, going to church all the time, but then she gets divorced. Then she gets breast cancer. And then she gets laid off because the economy hit hard. Did you see her last night? Did she look like she was divorced? Did she look like she had cancer? Did she look like she... She is sending money to kids for scholarships in Africa so they can go to university. No more toiling. 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 You're an answer to somebody's prayer. You're a solution to somebody's problem. Amen? Bow your heads, please. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you.